Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved man-made disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
We got the cutest message ever.
Regarding the bracket.
I love it. It says, I'm literally shaking. I never win anything. You made my whole year.
I love that because I am also a person who never wins anything.
Megan Vrooman. She won our Florida.
She was our winner.
I hope she likes this stuff.
Who wouldn't?
I wonder if I could still sneak in that alligator in the package.
Has it gone out yet?
No, it hasn't. This literally just happened as we're recording. Oh, she just sent another message. Why?
What does it say?
It says, while I've got you, I want to say I am a giant fan of you gals. I look forward to listening every week, and you two are just so fun. Megan, you're sweet.
Oh, you're fun too, Megan.
We love you.
I like it. Well, I mean, we've only done this twice, so I make it sound like I'm drawing on a wealth of experience here, but I like it when people that I really like win.
Yeah.
I really like Lex, and Lex won last time, and I was so happy about it. And now, once again, we have the sweetest person winning.
Yes.
And you know what that means?
It's done.
It's time to start again.
It's time to... Okay, so... Are you ready for this Midwest bracket?
Nope.
You have an excuse? I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think you have an excuse.
I do. I'm a little concerned.
I'm very concerned. Not for me. Yeah. I mean,
no.
We all know. I'll eat anything.
Anything. Literally anything.
Literally anything.
I am a toddler at the best of times with my palate, and now I'm pregnant.
Now you're pregnant!
And let me tell you, this has been so much worse than my first pregnancy. I can't eat anything.
She's barfing all over the place.
Yeah, no. This morning I barfed my bathroom sink because I don't think I can talk about it. I opened my freezer, which is a perfectly... clean, normal freezer, but it has a freezer smell, as all freezers do. And that really disturbed my ecosystem this morning.
Oh.
And so now I'm going to talk about food every week. The wild card, there's always a wild card with my hot takes brackets. It's usually my indifference to puppies.
Mm-hmm.
This time it is my pregnant food aversions. And random cravings. The other day I had to have grapes out of nowhere. I'm not any particular fan of grapes.
But. I love like how straight right off the bat, nobody knew you were pregnant and you are busting so many fucking brackets because it is such a wild card.
It is such a wild card. I will say that there is one on there. There's one food on there. I don't think we had to have any kind of you have to not put this on there because I love it or hate it so much kind of foods this time, like we had to do with raccoons for the animal bracket. But there's one on there that I'll tell you right now I hate, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I don't know. Maybe the baby.
Most of them I've never tried.
Maybe the baby. Maybe the babies.
Nope.
We'll see.
God, shut up. And that is not a twin announcement. I had an ultrasound last week and they were like, yeah, we're pretty sure it's one. Looks like one. We see one. We're about 80% confident that it's one because I have like a really big ovarian cyst that's completely displacing my uterus. So it's kind of hard to see.
I think big is an understatement.
Yeah, it's like grapefruit sized. And they're like, yeah, we're 80% confident it's one. But, you know, we'll take another look next time. Can't be completely sure. Well, then I get a call the next day and they're like, we think it's twins. We reviewed this. And I'm like, I don't think so.
Can you imagine? So.
I'm like, what did you review? How do you go about, like, what does that mean?
I'm ready for some more babies on this podcast. Lord knows I'm not having them.
One. One.
One.
Melanie.
One.
One.
Okay.
If anybody puts their hopers or their feelers or their wishers or their energy or their prayers, whatever you do toward twins, I will find you. I will come to your house and I will throw an alligator in your window.
And she's going to pull it straight out of her pants.
Yes. Maybe twin alligators since we're on theme. So I'm sticking with the original 80% theory. And I'm not budging from that till the next ultrasound, which is not for a couple weeks. So
congratulations. That would explain
how miserable I am.
I'm so very excited for you.
Thank you.
And Tag.
I'm normally very excited. I've had a very rough day physically. And I was like, shit, I'm supposed to announce this tonight. I know I'm going to get there and I'm going to be like, yeah. Yep, sure am.
If I was there.
I am excited. It's just not. It's been a rough day.
Yeah. If I was there, I would totally hold your hair.
Well, you know, I would say I wouldn't let you, but because normally I'm a very secretive puker, but it's out of control this time.
Oh. Well, do you want to see what you would not vomit up out of this bracket this week?
Yes.
Okay, let's
get... That's really the criteria.
All right, let's kick it off. We have the St. Paul sandwich.
What the fuck is the St. Paul sandwich?
Looks like a chicken sandwich with some tomatoes and pickles versus the breaded tenderloin, which is very obnoxious. It's just like a huge ass piece of meat between two little buns.
Okay. I've never heard... You said it's called a St. Paul sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of that.
Sounds like a sex term.
What do you do that you call a St. Paul sandwich, Melanie?
I don't know, but I'm going to make it up.
I don't want to know.
It's going to
I think it involves you, Cody, and a man named St. Paul.
It's going to wind up in on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, God. So I have never heard of that.
St. Paul sandwich can be found in many Chinese American restaurants.
Yes. I looked that up at one point. It's been a minute, so I don't have that like fresh in front of me. I looked that up at one point and it is involving Chinese restaurants. I've never seen it in one. And I think it was also highly regional.
Yeah.
I want to say Missouri, but I might be making that up.
Yeah, you're right. So white bread, egg foo young, patty, pickle slices, white onions, mayonnaise, lettuce, and tomato.
I mean, that doesn't sound like something I would like at all. Also, I've never even heard of it. But let's move on to tenderloin. Have you ever had one?
No.
That's so weird.
Why?
Because in Indiana, that's like saying you've never had a banana.
It's like, it just seems so like sacrilegious to not. I mean, the buns are so, I like carbs. Why are the buns so small?
So, like, I'm not gonna say that I'm some kind of huge tenderloin person, because I feel like the Hoosiers are gonna come get me if I say that out loud, but I mean, it's okay. I've had some better and some worse. I think a lot of times they tend to be over fried, like a little, I don't want to say burnt, but like just too hard, too crispy. And the buns are ridiculous. I don't really want to eat 3 inches of meat before I get to...
It looks like a cartoon.
It does in person too. But I mean, it can be tasty. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's definitely not bad. If you are at the state fair and nothing else sounds good, you're not going to go too wrong with a tenderloin. So the tenderloin will easily advance to this round.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you come here, you do need to try one.
Well, I'm down to try anything except for space soda.
And this isn't really tenderloin evangelizing. It's just weird to have never had a tenderloin.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, you don't even know what it tastes like at all.
I mean, I've had tenderloin. I can imagine it. I don't think it's hard to imagine.
With the breadth of shit you've eaten, probably not.
So we're extending spooky season.
Yes, by at least 1 week. It was supposed to be 1 week, but it could be two, because I might make this a two-parter. I had a lot of fun with this. So I've gone a little bit into the weeds with this one, but I looked back on Buzzsprout and I haven't gone into the weeds all that often actually lately. So I feel that I've earned one.
You've earned
and
one.
And I feel that I have. And I feel that this is going to be a really fun, spooky episode. It is about urban legends.
I'm so excited about this.
You know how I do the brackets and I always want you to get involved in the brackets and bring some hot takes to the party, and you never, ever will?
Right.
This time you have no choice.
Oh, gosh.
Because the catch is going to be that I'm going to fill you in on an urban legend, and you are going to be a little armchair Snopes and tell me if you think it's real or not.
All right.
Okay.
Are you ready? I'm ready.
Are you up for it? Okay.
True.
Okay. Number one. We have six. I'll tell you now so you know. Number one, our first urban legend pulls double duty as a TV trope. You find yourself in the hands of very bad dudes. Maybe it's a very efficient criminal. Maybe it's an evil farmer straight out of Deliverance. You don't know. Doesn't matter. Things aren't looking good. But suddenly, they're looking a whole lot worse when you find yourself dragged toward a pen of filthy, hungry pigs. Oh. You know it's a matter of very little time until you're nothing but a few chunks of bone in the mud and shit. Is this real?
Yes. It's so real.
How confident are you?
I am 100% confident.
Okay. That it's 100% real.
Pigs eat everything. There's a reason why you hate pigs, Brianne.
That is actually the reason. It's Hannibal. That's literally why. A lot of shows and movies definitely think that it's real. It, like I said, it does happen in Hannibal, which is where my pig fear originated. In the movie Snatch, a character says, "I hear the best thing to do is feed them to pigs. You gotta starve the pigs for a few days. Then the sight of a chopped up body will look like curry to a piss head. You gotta shave the heads of your victims and pull the teeth out for the sake of the piggy's digestion. You could do this afterwards, of course, but you don't want to go sieving through pig shit now, do you? They will go through bone like butter. You need at least 16 pigs to finish the job in one sitting, so be wary of any man who keeps a pig farm. They will go through a body that weighs 200 pounds in about 8 minutes. That means that a single pig can consume 2 pounds of uncooked flesh every minute. Hence the expression, as greedy as a pig."
That's
an ominous movie quote.
I remember that quote very thoroughly.
Really?
Yes.
So you think it's real, or is this just some combination of our fear of gluttony and the sinister unknowns of rural life?
Oh, man. I mean, those are... Listen. Those are some pretty intense statistics just to make up by yourself, but...
But you don't think a character in Snatch might do it?
I don't know. So what we got? What's Snatch? That's Guy Ritchie, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. You think I've seen anything?
Well, yeah, it's Guy Ritchie. He was married to Madonna. Madonna faked a British accent. It's probably fake, huh?
The pig thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me.
I think it's fake.
You were
now.
Very confident that pigs really do eat people like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I hate this.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
No, it's real. I'm sticking. Final answer.
Final answer, it's real? Okay. Terry Vance Garner served in the Vietnam War. Like many men did, he returned home with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result. Unlike many men, he was lucky to find a way to heal from his experiences. Animals. He started a farm in Oregon filled with turkeys and his beloved pigs. He had several huge pigs, 700 pounds each, which he bred, and then he sold the piglets to children in the area, which is a weird thing to me, but maybe that's because I'm not a farmer. I mean, is that normal? Are you a farmer? I don't know why I think you know.
I mean,
I think it's weird to just sell piglets to random children.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
this was not that long ago.
Pig purchasing was trendy for a while because people don't realize that pigs grow up to be
700 pounds
each. 700 pounds. And then there's that whole thing that was going around. Oh, pigs are smarter than dogs and you can walk them on a leash and take them out potty and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a normal thing.
Well, I don't, but I'm not a farmer.
I don't agree with it, but
yeah,
I do think it's normal.
One fall day in 2012. I mean, okay, but I know pig buying was a trend, but by children?
Well, I don't think they're like, "Here, sir, take my allowance."
I feel like they are. I feel like that's the implication. I really do.
How much does a baby piglet cost? I want to know.
I don't know. Do you need to pause and look it up?
Yeah. How much is a baby piglet? Oh, damn. Those cute piglets can cost between $1,200 and $6,500 a pop.
What kind of allowance do these farm children have?
I don't know. They must be growing weed.
The children?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing an episode on the secret lives of farm children. They're making bank, growing weed, buying piglets. I had no idea.
Hey, I mean,
holy shit.
I've seen weirder, right? I just ran across my lawn the other night naked, chasing an armadillo.
On video chat with me. It was a really cute armadillo.
It was.
Okay.
My neighbors hate me, I'm sure.
Find out the truth about pigs.
All right. Yes. Sorry.
Okay. One fall day in 2012, Terry headed to the pig pen to feed his prize hogs, but he did not come back. When one of his relatives went looking for him, all they found in the pen were a few pieces of Terry and his dentures. It would never be known if the pigs had deliberately overtaken and consumed him, or if a medical event had killed him and the pigs just saw a delicious opportunity. The district attorney said the death was so doggone weird.
Doggone?
This does sound like a place where children buy piglets. I take that back. Then, in January of last year, a 70-something-year-old pig farmer in Poland bundled up to go get some water from his well. It was during the coldest seasons of his region in the early days of January. His two adult pigs and their dozen piglets were free roaming on his property. Sounds a little bit idyllic. 8 days after the farmer was last seen alive on New Year's Eve, neighbors looked into his absence and found a few scattered bones in his yard. The rest had been devoured by his pigs. A 46-year-old man named Alexandru...
Oh, it's still happening.
It's still happening. Also did not return from feeding his pigs. When he didn't return in 2 hours, his family went searching for him. In his nephew's words, then we found him in the pigsty with half his face eaten off. Evidence suggested that he had simply slipped and been swarmed by pigs ripping his skin off, and he bled out on the ground.
Wow.
In 2012, Susan Monica murdered two handymen on her farm and fed them to her pigs. She claimed to have come upon her pigs disemboweling one of them and killed him as a mercy killing, but the jury did not buy it, and she was convicted of murder and abuse of a corpse in 2015. These cars are really, this is the problem with recording early. I don't know really what I'm holding on for. They're not leaving. In 2012, an Italian mob boss was kidnapped by some other mafia dudes he'd been having drama with since the 50s. The man, Francesco Ricosta, perhaps, was beaten and tossed into a pigsty where his rival gleefully watched his death. He was later caught on wiretap saying, "It was satisfying to hear his screams. Mamma mia, how he screamed. In the end, I didn't see anything. Nothing remained."
Oh, wow.
Multiple sources confirm that pigs will absolutely eat humans, but they usually leave behind either hair or teeth, which they can't digest. It is entirely possible that more savvy murderers have caught on to this, maybe from watching Snatch, and avoided being caught by pulling teeth and shaving heads in advance. So there are probably more stories that we will never know about.
Yeah, so I got that it one right. Is
resoundingly true.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for number two?
Yes.
Two teenage lovers park in a secluded area to neck. Sidebar, what the fuck is necking?
Oh, it's like hickeys and kissing. And
okay, see, my whole life I thought it was pressing your necks together. And I was like, how is that pleasurable? I don't get it.
No, it's just
like, wow, doing stuff to each other's necks?
Yeah.
Little. Okay, I mean, I guess. I'm not convinced, though. I feel like you're just entwining necks like giraffes.
No, it's definitely has sure? to, like, necking is definitely kissing.
Okay, so I have concerns about necking, but that's not the point. The two teenage lovers have the radio on, but their mood music is suddenly interrupted by breaking news. A man has escaped a nearby prison, and he's roaming the woods. You'll know him by his hook hand.
I love in this some one. Versions,
I know. I knew you would. In some versions, they don't find out the news. The girl just gets an uneasy feeling that she can't explain. She shuts down where things were going. But in both versions, she asks to go home, and he gets mad and guns it out of their parking spot like a jackass. When they get home, they find a hook embedded in the car door, and her not wanting to have sex saved both of their lives. There are several versions of this. This is one of my top two urban legends that personally fucked me up as a kid. And in the version that I heard, they suddenly heard like a scraping on the car roof right after that. And they started frantically driving, but they couldn't get him off the car. And then I think he eventually scraped through the roof and shredded the boy's head, maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, it's fake. Real? For sure. Not real?
It's fake for sure.
Fake for sure. Answer? Final answer.
Well, you're kind of right, kind of wrong. It's mixed. It is mixed. As far as I can find, the hook detail is fiction, but the whole Lover's Lane murder thing is not at all. Although I don't think this one is really based on anything specific, like an event that got kind of embellished on so much as just cultural anxieties, like most urban legends.
Was that Zodiac that did that?
Well, Zodiac did. There were actually several. The one that this
AKA
seems to
Ted Cruz.
The one that this seems to have probably spawned from was in 1946, a serial killer absolutely terrorized Texarkana, hitting three couples parked in various lovers' lanes and one older couple in their farmhouse over the course of a few months. Most of them died, a few survived, and the town was absolutely terrified, along with the country and the world in general watching the coverage. Some brave and stupid young couples tried to lure the killer to their cars so they could eliminate him. Women whose husbands were away all checked into one hotel en masse, afraid to be home alone. The crime was never solved, although, you know, it's one of those where they kind of think they might know, but it was never officially solved. No one was ever arrested or charged. And in 1955, a bunch of parked couples were robbed and in at least one instance raped in California. Now, in 1960, someone very manipulatively wrote into Dear Abby. And this is
Dear Abby.
Here we go. This is the letter. If you are interested in teenagers, you will print this story. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it doesn't matter because it served its purpose on me. A fellow and his date pulled into their favorite Lover's Lane to listen to the radio and do a little necking. The music was interrupted by an announcer who said there was an escaped convict in the area who had served time for rape and robbery. He was described as having a hook instead of a right hand. The couple became frightened and drove away. When the boy took his girl home, he went around to open the car door for her. Then he saw a hook on the door handle. I don't think I will ever park to make out as long as I live. I hope this does the same for other kids.
Someone wrote that into Dear Abby?
Yes, and they printed it.
What'd she say?
I don't know. I don't know what her response was. I think it was just, I don't know that there was a response because it's not a question.
She probably was like.
But she was like, fuck it. I care about teenagers. I'm interested in teenagers. Whatever the fuck that means. And I mean, honestly, the transparency of the agenda here, it goes a long way toward understanding why our grandparents cannot recognize ulterior motives in the news and media they consume. Because this was just fine.
It's okay.
And now they're like, what bias could this man on Fox News possibly have?
The news is real.
The news is real. It ended up mutating into an urban legend, eventually being reprinted in a bunch of places, and in my case, spread by word of mouth, literally in a bush in the fourth grade in front of the school, including scary stories to tell in the dark. And while we're here, I want to very briefly acknowledge the weird phenomenon of horror books explicitly made and marketed to children, like the one I just mentioned, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, In a Dark, Dark Room, and Other Scary Stories, and of course, the illustrious R.L. Stine and his Goosebumps books.
I loved all of them.
Okay. And that's fair. I'm not judging or complaining. I was way too much of a wuss for that, but that's understandable. Adelaide would probably love it. I feel like this was an extremely 80s and 90s thing that doesn't really exist anymore, other than R.L. Stine himself, who is 78 now, and just released a book called Judy and the Beast in September and has two more on pre-order for 2022, in case you were wondering and wanted to order those. But he got kind of grandfathered into the 21st century, but I feel like horror anthologies aimed at 8-year-olds just don't exist like they used to.
Did you ever read The Girl with the Green Ribbon?
We're getting there.
Oh, I'll save it.
Number 3. This one is so freaking fascinating to me. Are you ready?
Ready.
You stand in your bathroom in the dark, gazing into the mirror as you say, "Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary." A horrifying woman, Mary herself, appears in the mirror, possibly covered in blood. Real or not real?
So when you were asking about urban legends, this was mine on okay. the on the Horrible Ghouls Facebook.
You actually had a couple, and I'm going to touch on one of your other ones later.
I'm way too old to be saying this is real, but I don't know. It's got to have some roots. I'm going to say it's real.
Okay. Wow. That is a bold stance on Bloody Mary, I think. You have more confidence that Bloody Mary is real and will come to your mirror than you did that pigs will eat corpses.
That's true. I'm a strange bird.
You are, but I love you, bird. So I don't think it should come as a surprise that I'm going to say that this is, in fact, not completely real.
Boring.
But it may come as a surprise to other people that there may be a very eerie scientific explanation.
Ooh.
Bet you didn't see that coming, did you?
I did not.
How you like them science apples?
I love science.
It starts with something called Troxler's fading. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Okay. It is an optical illusion phenomenon. The idea is that if you're staring at a fixed point, irrelevant and unchanging, okay, stay with me here because this sounds like something that'll make someone's eyes glaze over, but you got to follow. If you're staring at a fixed point, irrelevant and unchanging visual input from like around that point stops being perceived. The most widely used animation that illustrates it is called the Lilac Chaser. On the screen, you see a little black plus sign in the center of a light gray background. There are 12 blurry, lilac-colored dots around it, arranged like numbers on a clock. There's a blank dot that moves at a steady pace around the circle, so at any point, one dot is not visible, but it just keeps moving around, I think, clockwise. If you stare at it for a minute, and I timed it, and it was 3 seconds for me. First, if you stare at the black check, the empty dot turns into a green dot, moving around the circle, and the lilac dots fade away. For me, after 3 more seconds, everything but the black plus sign in the middle completely disappeared.
Oh, wow.
You should go try it real quick. It's very easily findable.
We will have to post this on our social, too. Hold on. I don't like it.
Did it work?
It worked. I don't like it at all.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know.
It's about to get so much creepier.
I feel weird.
Yeah. Okay. So there are a lot of different examples of Troxler's fading, which apparently works for most people, but not quite everyone, because some people are just going to be weird. That doesn't explain things like faces appearing in mirrors, does it?
No.
No. Let's go to an article published in Perception, a peer-reviewed scientific journal in 2009. Researchers asked 50 people who were described as naive individuals, which I take to not mean they were dipshits, but that they didn't know what they were supposed to be looking at, to stare at their reflection in a dimly lit room for a while. Now, I'm sorry to read you a long quote again, because I think there have already been a couple relatively long quotes, but the article can describe it way better than I could possibly hope to paraphrase. Here we go. Usually, after less than a minute, the observer began to perceive the strange face illusion. At the end of a 10-minute session of mirror gazing, the participant was asked to write what he or she saw in the mirror. The descriptions differed greatly across individuals and included A. Huge deformations of one's own face, reported by 66% of the 50 participants. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
B. A parent's face, with traits changed, 18%, of whom 8 were still alive and 10 were deceased.
Oh,
C,
no.
An unknown person, 28% of the time. D, an archetypical face, such as that of an old woman, a child, or a portrait of an ancestor, 28%. E, an animal face, such as a cat, pig, or lion, 18%. Or F, fantastical and monstrous beings, 48%. The appearance or attenuation of face traits could be linked to the Troxler fading that appears in the periphery while staring at a central fixation. However, this explanation would predict that face traits should fade away and eventually disappear, whereas the apparitions in the mirror consist of new faces having new traits. A possibly related multiple faces phenomenon has been reported for photos of faces placed in peripheral vision. In this case, reported deformations of features included variations of the facial traits and expressions or appearance of new ones like teeth or a beard, as well as completely new faces, 3D distortions, rotations, upside-down faces, the subject's own face, sometimes younger or older. Clearly, there are similarities and effects for peripherally viewed photos and centrally viewed self-reflections in dim light. However, in central viewing, the perception of the face is more accurate, making the distortion more salient. And because the distortions are of one's own face, the effects are amplified from merely intriguing to often unsettling.
I don't like it.
I don't either, honestly. Now, I wasn't sure if this was just some small eccentric study or what, so I did some more digging, and not only does it seem to be widely accepted and repeatable, it can also happen staring at a stranger's face.
Oh,
you ready for this shit?
Ooh.
Another study asked two strangers with neutral facial expressions to stare at each other for 10 minutes. Scientific American writes, 10 minutes had seemed like a long stretch to look deeply into the eyes of a stranger, but time started to lose its meaning after a while. Sometimes the young couple felt as if they were looking at things from outside of their own bodies. Other times, it seemed as if each moment contained a lifetime. Throughout their close encounter, each member of the duo experienced their partner's face as ever-changing. Human features became animal traits, transmogrifying into grotesqueries. There were eyeless faces and faces with too many eyes. The semblances of dead relatives materialized. Monstrosities abounded.
That's one hell of a staring contest.
Right? So my first takeaway here is that I'm covering every mirror in my house with a sheet. I'm never looking at myself again. Or maybe anyone else either. Because I am disturbed.
Look into my eyes.
No, I never will. Second, it does seem extremely possible that just the incantation and expectation of something unsettling combined with the strange face effect could easily lead to mirror-related urban legends having legs for centuries, as just enough credible people report seeing fucked up things when they stare at their faces in the mirror for a while. Did that mess you up? Because that messed me up.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it either.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, no, that one totally freaked me out more than any of the others.
Science.
Because now I don't ever, like, is it going to happen while I'm putting on my makeup? I don't like it.
I don't like it changing. I think I'd be more alarmed to see a face change into an animal head than it would be for it to turn grotesque.
Yeah. I mean, it's all pretty bad. Okay. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
You're going to love it. I love it. It's my favorite one. A young woman meets a young man, and they fall in love. Throughout their courtship, she's evasive about why she wears a ribbon around her neck at all times.
Yes!
This is my favorite urban legend. Although confused and frustrated by the lack of explanation, the man marries her anyway. They're together for a period of time. It might be a night, or it might be the lifetime of a marriage. And when her ribbon is finally removed one way or another, her husband discovers, as her severed head tumbles to the ground, that all this time, it was all that had been keeping it attached.
Hmm.
Real? Not real?
Not real.
Couldn't be, could it?
Oh, I hate when you do this. Hate it.
I assure you.
Fuck. So I think of that Southeast Asian culture, I cannot think of the name, where they wear the rings around their necks. I did see a documentary a long time ago where it's like, after so long, like, to take them off, like, they could lose their life.
Oh gosh, that's really interesting. I wish this went that direction, because that would have been very interesting, and I would like to learn more about that. But no, it has nothing to do with that. So what is your final answer? Is your final answer maybe a little bit true, but based on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've already kind of spoiled that. Okay.
Yes.
I think that's an excellent thought. The story itself is pure fiction, and it doesn't seem to be rooted in any partial truth or even necessarily cultural fears, per se, that I can identify. I was originally going to do a deep dive into internal decapitation in the discussion on this one, just because it freaks me out. But the more I delved into the background and possible symbolism of the original story, the more I thought I got a little bit obsessed with it. So the overall concept seems to date back to the French Revolution, when everybody and their mom was going to the guillotine, and people were understandably even more obsessed with decapitation than I am. A version of the story was published in 1822. In that story, it's a one-night stand, and when her ribbon comes off in the morning, her head comes off and she's dead. When the police come, they recognize her as a woman who was executed the day before, and I guess she just was not about to go out without one more dick appointment, so she just had to
get your dick appointments in.
Yeah, last freaking call. I mean, I guess a century and a half later, in 1970, it resurfaces in another book of children's horror, in which her husband eventually gets pissed and forcibly cuts the ribbon, only to discover the truth. The story that most of us are familiar with is published in 1984, when this guy named Alfred mildly harasses her about it for her whole life until she agrees to show him on her deathbed. Now, there have been some feminist critiques and rewritings lately, which were very interesting to me. The less explored but still very popular angle is that the husband, and in the 1984 version, their names were Alfred and Jenny, so I'm just going to call them that for simplicity's sake, is an unobservant jackass. Like, his wife is, first of all, walking around with something clearly central and defining to her life, and he never takes the time to really understand it.
Right.
And the idea behind the Alfred is a jackass version. And I mean, the husband is never like really mean per se in any of them, except maybe that one with the scissors. That seems kind of mean, but I haven't read the actual story. In this angle, she's so much just a prop filling a role for him.
Right.
That he doesn't even notice like the physical things, like a wobbly ass head or difficulty eating or swallowing, like the logistics of just wearing a single ribbon in all situations for decades, limited mobility. He doesn't really see her. And if he did, he would figure this out. Mm-hmm. And that's one angle. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's crazy. That's it. That's true. Well, then I moved on to the other angle, which I like a lot more. There was a long essay called The Husband Stitch, published in 2014, that was basically a really, really, really beautiful and interesting retelling of the story solely from Jenny's perspective, which I cannot recommend enough that you look up. Complete side note, I read a bunch of like responses to it and critiques and opinions on it. And one of them kept referring to, you know, with the husband stitches, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of them kept referring to it as when they sew up a woman's uterus to make it more pleasurable for her husband.
What?
And I was like, no. He should not be being pleasured by her uterus in any way. That is not what that means.
Science is sexy.
Science apples. Eat some, people. So that's an aside. That the story does not.
I can't find her uterus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's a reason, sir. So just like as a short story, first of all, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. You should absolutely read it. But this one frames it completely differently. In this one, most women, maybe all women, have ribbons of their own. Like, it's a girl thing. I believe even girl children do. It's not always on their neck. It could be on their ankle or a finger or anywhere. And they theoretically represent things that women keep for themselves. Not necessarily secrets. Definitely not necessarily sex. This is not a parable about sexual gatekeeping whatsoever. In this version and most versions, her husband is basically a good man, and they have a loving, passionate, in this version, really quite sexual marriage that leads to a son, but he never stops feeling entitled to knowing the purpose of her ribbon and seeing what's underneath it, ever. In one section it reads, "A wife, he says, should have no secrets from her husband. I don't have any secrets, I tell him. The ribbon. The ribbon is not a secret, it's just mine. Were you born with it? Why your throat? Why is it green? I do not answer. He's silent for a long minute, and then, a wife should have no secrets. My nose grows hot. I do not want to cry. I have given you everything you've ever asked for, I say. Am I not allowed this one thing? I want to know. You think you want to know, I say, but you do not. Why do you want to hide it from me? I am not hiding it. It is not yours." Mm-hmm. It seems to come down to, am I not allowed this one thing for both of them? She requires a zone of privacy and respect. He requires that no seemingly arbitrary secrets are kept. Finally, after at least 2 decades of marriage, he still will not fucking let it go. And after a passionate night, he wakes her up probing at the damn ribbon with his tongue.
Ew.
Which I'll tell you would enrage me. She is finally worn down and she feels guilt about
it. He was necking.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, I didn't want to come full circle in that way at all, but here we are. The essay says, he is not a bad man, and I realize suddenly that is the root of my hurt. He is not a bad man at all. Resigned, she asks him if that's really what he wants. He says yes. She allows him to untie it. And the last 2 sentences read, my husband's face falls away, and then I see the ceiling and the wall behind me. As my lopped head tips backwards off my neck and rolls off the bed, I feel as lonely as I have ever been. Their whole marriage, he's felt like owning every piece of her was the thing he needed. And in the end, when he did, her last feeling before she's dead is absolute loneliness. And those 2 takes on that story are probably something I'll be slowly processing for the next 20 years.
Yep.
Just like the yellow wallpaper completely broke my brain in college and continues to this day.
The yellow wallpaper?
Oh, if you haven't read it, you should read it. You notice a swollen spot on your skin. You wonder if it could be... What are you giggling about?
I know what this is.
Oh, yeah, you do. You wonder if it could be a mosquito bite or a pimple, but it grows and grows until it finally pops. And out crawls a swarm of tiny spiders. A spider had laid her eggs inside your vulnerable flesh, and they'd been growing inside of you for weeks. Real or not real?
Okay. I want to say that I've looked this up and it's not real, but I have carried this into adulthood and I don't care if anyone tells me it's not real. It is real. Like okay. If little parasite fish can swim up your pee hole, why can't spiders lay eggs in your flesh?
Okay, well. All right, so you're coming down hard on real.
Hard on real. I mean, you get the roaches in your ear. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Bugs okay. Like bodies. Real.
Bugs like bodies. Well, that's not completely inaccurate. But spiders aren't bugs. I wanted to include this specifically because it was the one you mentioned when I posted about urban legends in the Horrible Cools group. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, ha ha, I know that can't happen, but it still freaks me out, which was news to me because I totally thought it could happen. And I was definitely hoping to find some obscure example and freak you out. That's the whole reason we're here. Unfortunately, they really can't. I know, but
lies.
I'm still about to fuck up your life, just not with spiders.
Okay.
Have patience. Most spiders really don't want much to do with humans and only bite defensively. And spider eggs need oxygen to grow. They just don't do it. It just doesn't happen. It's never happened, literally ever in history. However, a bunch of other bugs can. And I'm here to tell you, I'm more afraid of spiders than bugs in general. But I don't know that it really makes much of a difference if we're talking about one or, you know, a whole writhing mass of them being underneath my skin. I don't know that I'm going to be like, oh, whatever. It's not a spider. This is fine. Like, it's not fine. So... most of these creatures are either very rare or more along the lines of mites, which are, you know, gross and unpleasant, but they're really not what most of us are thinking about when we're thinking about bug babies burrowing in our skin. Botflies, however. They look like the Slender Man version of bumblebees, first of all. Their adult lifespans are only a week or two because their mouths don't work.
What?
But... yeah, they don't have any functional mouth equipment. But they deposit eggs on other bugs that have regular access to penetrating you, like ticks and mosquitoes, which deposit the eggs when they bite you. The larva will grow inside of you for weeks.
I hate that fucking word.
Or even months until they're ready to come out. And if you have trypophobia, I cannot suggest strongly enough that you do not look for information on Google Images. Do you have that?
No, I don't.
I have like the opposite of it. I find it kind of appealing.
I find it appealing too. Really?
I do. I think it's because I like to pop blackheads so much. I really think that's what it is. It doesn't disturb me at all. I mean, like, obviously, if it's, you know, like, human flesh that's just completely and totally fucked up, like, you know, that's upsetting for its own purposes. But, like, on plants or just on whatever, oh, no, that doesn't upset me at all.
I remember, like, a year or two ago where it was, like, super trendy to, like, post pictures of it on social media.
And then that was a weird time.
Yeah, it was a weird time. And then there was, like, the whole discussion about hiding images and... Mm-hmm. Trigger warnings and everyone being like,
and half of it was about that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure the birth of the trigger warning came from that.
Tag has it and I don't, so for once I get to be the antagonizer in this household, which I enjoy. But when they come out, oh man, it's terrible. But like, do you like Dr. Pimple Popper?
Yes.
Okay, then you might like it. I mean, not in yourself.
Do you know you could actually buy... I was in a wish list group for a while where you just like, if someone's having a bad day, you just buy them. You know me, I like to just go on Amazon and buy people stuff for no reason at all. I'm so bothered by
where this might be going though.
Someone on their wish list had, it looked like a bar of soap, but it was like fleshy tone. And it was basically like this thing where you can like, it simulates pimple popping.
I've seen something kind of similar to that. I don't think it's that very thing. Okay. I'm about to tell you something so gross.
I love it.
Gross. Oh, most people should probably skip a little bit here. When I worked in veterinary medicine before I had a baby, I think we talked about this last week, not this, there was a kitten that came in. And it had a snotty nose and something in its nose. And I pulled it out and it turned out to be some kind of larva. I would know the name of it if I saw it, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. And I wasn't actually going to talk about this, so I didn't look it up. But here I am. I'm going to get a bad review for that, too. And I got tweezers and I pulled this thing out of this kitten's nose. And I just... words can't emphasize the size discrepancy between this monstrosity and this little bitty kitten nostril. It was, I mean, it, and it came out alive. I saw a video on TikTok recently of the exact same thing, like a kitten the exact same size and a larva the exact same size. And oh, it took me back, man.
Yeah, no.
In a nostalgic way.
Poor kitty.
Yeah. But they're not dissimilar to that larva. And I mean, yeah, like for the images of them are very fucking upsetting. You know, for some people, they might like them. So
I'm going to have to look it up.
Do that what you will.
I'm going to try to find the kitty. I didn't warn you.
Oh, I'll send you the kitty from TikTok.
Okay.
Okay. Ready for the last one?
Yep.
This is kind of a short one, but I felt that I wanted to include it anyway. Okay. You're home alone late at night. Either at your house or someone else's, like maybe you're a babysitter watching some children while their parents go out, and then you start getting phone calls that escalate from unsettling to threatening over the course of the night. And when you finally call the police, they say those terrifying words. The calls are coming from inside the house.
Oh, I hate this.
Now I understand how unpredictable my brackets must be, because I... the things that I thought you'd be like, yeah, obviously, or of course not, are all over the place.
I hate this so much because it's like people like will sneak in your house and live in your attic. It's a real thing. It happened like this past year.
But do they call you? But do they call you?
I don't know.
Why would they call you?
Well, if they're in your house, I mean.
I mean, like, yeah, like there's definitely a shit ton of stories of people like living in an attic and they come eat your food and use your shower while you're gone, and then they go back to the attic or whatever. Like, that's pretty freaking common. But why do they call you?
Sometimes when there's a mental health issue, there's no reason, you know?
There's not always any accounting for it. That's true. Okay. So what are you going with?
Yes. Yes. And I hate it. I hate it.
Okay. So, of course, this is famously the plot of several movies, including When a Stranger Calls, and a very well-known trope. But as far as I know, at the time that most of those movies were made, it was not yet a true story. But just last year, a creepy yet dumb version of it became real. A 16-year-old girl who isn't named because she's a minor and her mom were at their home in England when she started getting texts from an 18-year-old named, of course, Kyle. Kyle had been stalking her recently, and now he sent her a text that just said, "I'm watching you." He must not have gotten the response he was hoping for, because he went on to add that he had walked there from his house some distance away, and, "I hope you wake up and find me hanging outside."
Ugh.
Yeah. She was understandably terrified, so much so that she went downstairs to sleep in bed with her mom, as we all should do if we get any texts at all from anyone named Kyle ever. It took a long time for her to finally relax enough to start to fall asleep.
I love and that she's 16 and she still goes hangs out with her mom.
I mean, I don't know that she normally would if her stalker wasn't telling her he's going to be hanging outside her house in the morning, but I'm glad that was her response too.
Right.
So it took her a while to get relaxed enough to start to fall asleep. And then as she dozed off, she got another text. "I'm in your house."
No.
Mm-hmm. She believed that he was close, but she did not think there was any way he could be in the house. But so she stayed in her mom's bed and eventually went to sleep. In the morning, she went upstairs to her bedroom and immediately noticed something off. The shoeboxes she kept in an orderly line underneath her bed were not in their right spots, and she had the unsettling feeling of being watched. When she looked underneath it, there was Kyle.
No, no.
Under her bed. No. And I wonder if that's scary. Like, I mean, it is surely
scary.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, yeah, either way, however you look at it, like, that person would be, like, a bit of a boogeyman. But, I mean, wouldn't he just look like such a ding-dong under there?
No.
Like, he's not exactly in a power position.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
She said, "What are you doing under my bed?" And he said, "Sleeping." Her mom flew into the room and told him to get the fuck out, and he did, but he grabbed the 16-year-old's phone on the way out so he could, quote, discover personal details about her life, rather than just stalking her Instagram like the rest of us.
So gross.
He went to, well, you want to know something grosser?
Yep.
For once, it's not America. He went to trial over it, but he did not get any jail time despite being 18 years old. Just 80 hours of volunteer work, £100 owed to the girl, and a building better relationships course. Like, I don't know the content of that course, so maybe I shouldn't talk shit, but I feel like the implication is that's just not the way to get a girlfriend.
No.
But, like, it's way beyond that. It's so far beyond that, Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah. I mean, do you take it that way?
Yes.
That just sounds like, yeah, I mean, you know, your heart was in the right place, but you kind of went about it wrong, buddy.
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Ugh.
Hard no.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think there's a long way to go with stalking laws everywhere.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, the lesson here is that if you get a text from somebody named Kyle, call the police.
Call the police.
Call the police every time. Every time. Look, even if your husband's name is Kyle.
Look under your bed.
Maybe your husband's down there.
Maybe.
But either way, call the police. Call. They won't do shit, no matter what country you live in. But go ahead and call so he knows you mean it.
Oh, wow. That is bananas.
Yeah, I have a bunch more I really wanted to get into, like snakes in the toilet.
We have to do a part two on this.
Yeah, and getting buried alive, and the man who hides under cars and slashes ankles. What the why is there a disembodied piano in my living room?
Why not? It's perfect for this episode.
That was some ambiance music. Well, on that note, I think we need some disaster relief.
Yes, we do.
Do you hear the splash in your head so clearly?
I do. It's not a recording. It's us. It's going.
We just pour out a different liquid every week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So mine this week is simply my OB. I love her. I never did my follow-up after I had Squonk and after the hurricane. I know I've talked about this briefly. Just kind of my mental health has been like a total shithole. But I called her and I was like, "Hey, I need help." And she... How quick was that appointment, Brian? It was crazy.
It was like the next day, I think.
Yeah. Brian was like, "Hey, Melanie, like, get your shit checked out. And I was like, okay.
Okay, hold on. Full disclosure, I've also been in a bad place. So I don't just sound like a mean person telling you to get it fucking together.
I don't think that's mean at all. I think...
Well, yeah.
You're
no, I know,
an amazing
but, I mean,
friend, and...
You're disclosing, and I'm disclosing. We've both been in completely unrelated dark places, and we talked either before or after recording last week, I don't remember, and we were like, hey, I'm going to call tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You should call tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we agreed to, if we aren't going to do it for ourselves, we'll do it for the podcast. Yeah. So we don't eventually just, so our podcast doesn't eventually start sucking because we're a couple depressed assholes.
Misery loves company, but we would prefer
so we
to
both
be happy.
Called. Yeah. We both called and you got in lightning speed.
Yeah. My OB is like, get in here right now. Hell yeah. For, you know, somebody actually, and you don't normally hear good healthcare, you know, stories like that. But I mean, it was lightning fast, and I went in, and it was just so easy. I can't get over how easy it was. So I got me some good brain meds that I will be starting on Monday, and I'm taking the weekend so I can enjoy a cocktail during trick-or-treating. But I got that, and she even gave me a med so I don't pee myself anymore, because apparently
I have
an overactive bladder. I know that's TMI.
And you don't have to pee yourself.
I don't. There is a solution for everything. Who would have thought?
You sound like a commercial. Oh, speaking of cocktails.
Oh.
Someone in Horrible Ghouls the other day was like, I would love to see a cocktail bracket where you make it and drink it before every episode.
I know.
Like, I can't. Okay.
What's yours?
Mine is a show that we all know and love. But once again, I'm doing the thing that I think I've done for like three other shows recently where I'm telling you, by the way, it's back. And by the way, it's so good.
Is it you?
And... It's you.
Oh, I knew it. Oh. I had a feeling.
We're not even very far into it. We're like two episodes in, and I am dead on the hill that it is the best season yet.
Who do you think's worse?
It's so good.
Love?
Out of who?
Isn't her name Love? Is it Love?
Her name is Love. Love Quinn.
Who's worse? Love or old dude? What's his name? I cannot remember names. Doesn't matter. I can't say them.
You know, that's kind of the theme of the season.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't really want to discuss that at all because that is the theme of the season. Like I mean, anybody who watched season two, and I'm not going to be concerned about season two spoilers because it's been a while, folks. Anybody, but if you're that worried about it, skip ahead like a minute. I mean, you should know from season two that he and Love got, you know, together / married, and they had a baby and moved to suburbia, and it was kind of the setup for season three. And I guess I felt like they were going to do what Dexter did, where they were like, this show's starting to suck. Let's throw a baby in, and it's still going to suck, but it's going to be like a new storyline, I guess.
Right.
No, they've both done some things, and there is some delicious tension between, does that make them compatible or extremely not compatible? It's good.
I can't wait to have my late nights back again so I can catch up on all these things that I have not been able to watch.
Yeah, we are recording a little earlier than we usually would, both in the night, which is why there have been so many car sounds in the background, more so than usual, mm-hmm. and in the week. So thank God I had actually gotten a jump start in this episode, or I would have been SOL once I realized, because we're going out of town Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're recording before Halloween.
Yeah, so we are recording on the night before, which where I come from is called All Hallows Eve. So we are recording on the 30th, which is a bit early for us. And I had to kind of speed up production a little bit, and it's killing me because I have you episodes just sitting there. Waiting for me. It's awful.
I've been knees deep in making Halloween costumes, which is
awesome.
Yeah. That's what
they look. They look amazing. And I'm jealous and insecure because I've never made a DIY Halloween costume of any kind.
It's stressing me out. It's too many. Five it's costumes so good. To make is too many. It's too many.
Yeah. No, why are you?
Because they asked me. And my kids are like, cute, and I don't know how to say no to them.
I have never done the costume thing, but I do the extremely DIY birthday cake thing every year. Like, I really, really labor over a very elaborate birthday cake of whatever theme she wants every year. And everybody's like, why didn't you just buy it store-bought? And I'm like, it's love. There's love in it.
Your birthday parties are incredible. The Zoe and Sassafras party was epic.
It was cool. So that's my thing that I do where people are like, Jesus Christ, lady. But I don't, I'm in awe of your Halloween costumes.
Well, you know who I'm in awe of? We got some new Patreons.
Yay!
Two more. So it's perfect. I love it when it evens out because they can be buddies now.
Let's discuss them.
So we have Megan. Megan's an OG. Megan has been around since the beginning.
What is her last name? I guess you probably shouldn't say that.
She didn't write it on the Patreon. I'll do her a redo shout out if she wants me to say her last name. I'll totally.
Okay, I just want to know so I can know which one she is. Because I remember there being a Megan early on, but I would remember better if I knew her last name.
I'll whisper it to you later. Okay, thanks. But yeah, she's definitely OG and very active on our social medias, and I really appreciate it. And then Liza Marie.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know she was a listener. Is it the Liza Marie, I think?
I believe so.
One of my favorite people in our mom group?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I even knew she listened, did you?
I didn't think so either.
That's so weird when that happens. Hi, guys. And Megan and Liza, those names are perfect together.
Right?
So you guys did good. Well.
So yes, thank you for supporting us. It means the world to us.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
On that note, I need to get back to sewing because the clock is.
How much sewing do you have left?
I have to finish hemming up a cape and I have to make some armor. And then we should be good.
You're stressing me out. Okay, go do it.
All right.
Sweet costumes or no costumes.
Exactly. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.